You have just entered the Katie Ma podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 222 of the KB Mod podcast. It is January 17th, 2016, our third cast of this beautiful year of our Lord. And John, unable to be with us this week, has some family stuff going on. And Brandon, I don't know what Brandon, I think, is traveling. He has something going on as well. So we've got two lovely pinch hitters. We've got Nikon Punch making an appearance on this cast. Nikon, hello.
Hello.
How you been, man?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I saw you this weekend. We had some yesterday, actually, it was. Wow. Why does it feel like it was so long ago? I don't know. It was yesterday.
I don't know. I still have three pieces of that pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't put it in the fridge.
Oh, so it's just... Okay, here. That's actually a really good... We need to talk about this. So pizza left out, not refrigerated after it has been ordered. How long... Like,
I've eaten pizza, like, the morning after.
Same.
Yeah.
I feel like by, like, the afternoon, though, then it starts getting, like, a little
ripe after that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I say morning after is fine, but
definitely
then...
not, but, like, with, like, once you top out at probably, like, 15, 16 hours after, that's when it's,
yeah.
like, actually, no, even then, that's kind of gross.
I would say maybe, like, 12.
12 hours max.
And then
yeah.
any hour after that, it just doubles the risk.
Yeah, I wonder what scientifically
like
they would tell you.
Risk.
Is,
I mean, it's just really just the cheat. Well, no, there's meat to.
There's
eat,
meat that
I don't
spoil.
Know. Yeah, it's a.
All right, I would. All right, I think we're all in agreement in, about the morning after pill.
Yeah,
I mean
say,
pizza.
Can I get a morning after pill for all the food that I eat?
Yeah, just pop
pizza?
It and
just let it just disintegrate.
It negates all the consequences.
The pill from the Hunger Games.
That would be incredible. Nikon, your wife's in here, Nikon, telling you to please don't eat the pizza.
Don't eat it
because she wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Christy's
trick,
trying
man.
To get it. Oh man. And you, Drake, how have you been, my friend?
I've been good.
Yeah.
Back at school.
Playing the cello?
No.
Oh, okay. We were talking about that in the pre-show. We found out Drake's been playing the cello for 13 years.
Yeah,
we did not realize
that. He didn't
say
that he's been playing it recently, so
that's
why did
true.
You infer that?
I don't know. I just assumed if I mean, I don't know.
You assuming piece of shit?
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't assume. When's the last time you actually picked up the cello and played though, like seriously? It's been a while.
Honestly, like last week.
Oh, okay. See, that's pretty. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you ever play on the street for money or anything? I'm just
no.
curious. Okay.
Have you ever thought about it?
You could.
I have actually.
Yeah.
You're a good looking guy. You could make a lot on the street.
You
I have a couple of friends that actually do it quite a bit.
No, I mean, and seriously, if you leave that money. Case open and it's like high traffic, I've seen people make bank. Yeah.
No, what you do is you find somewhere that has decent Wi-Fi. And then you stream it on the Twitch Creative channel. Boom.
Ah,
stream
there you go.
Idea.
Double it up.
Bam.
That is a good idea.
That is actually a pretty decent idea.
Watch this man get shanked in Philly as he's playing the cello.
Live shanking.
Yeah. Until
shanking.
The Starbucks employees kick me out, right?
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. And then obviously we've got Tim. We've got Nick.
Hello.
Hello. Anything? Let's talk about what we've been doing this week. Did anything exciting happen to any of us that we would like to share before we jump into the gaming
I'm pregnant.
Stuff? Wow. I feel like this is like the third time you've said that you were pregnant on this cast.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Not very original.
When did you find out?
This morning, actually.
This morning. Okay.
When I delivered the baby.
It just came out, or? Where did
yeah,
it come out?
It was a long 9 months, apparently. I thought I was just bloated, but.
Oh, yeah.
Is Taco Bell the father?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we took a paternity test.
It's a fucking quesarito. Came right out, perfectly wrapped. The beef one.
Yeah. In the foil wrapper and everything.
God.
Just ew. Inside out.
Ew.
Pregnant with a butt baby. Yes.
Yeah.
What is its gender neutral name?
It.
Alex.
It. That is very meta.
Alex is
like,
a good one.
Named it after the clown. Wait, that.
That's
the clown
not
had a name, right?
No, yeah, that's. I don't
that's
think.
It, the clown's name wasn't it.
No. Well, actually, was it referred to? I that was like, that's one. It's really sad because I haven't read it in a while, but that's one of my favorite novels of all time. And I don't think it's so long, though. That book is so fucking long.
Is it?
It is very, it's very
it's
good.
A book,
it's
dog.
Very long. All right. So, nothing too crazy other than Nick being pregnant. I mean, we can just jump into, we can
I watched
segue this
the
in.
Hateful Eight.
That's right.
Weekend.
We
need
to talk about
that.
Yeah. Talk about that.
It was really fucking good. Yeah. That's all I can really say about it. Because, one, I had no idea going in what it was even about. I try for the most part not to even like pay attention to that stuff and just kind of learn as little as possible. So, because you can spoil a lot of shit with the trailer. But all I knew is Tarantino and Samuel L. Jackson, but like everything else, no idea. 3 hours long, fucking incredible the entire time.
Yeah.
So go see it.
There you go. The segment sponsored by Fandango. Get use code APL 3% off for that movie. Also, real quick, in the chat helping us out, the clown's name is Pennywise in the book.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that reminder. Yeah, well, you were saying, Nakan, that you forgot, like, you were saying, this isn't spoilers, but at the beginning of the film, like, you kind of forgot it was a Tarantino film for the first, like, setup half.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of you were like, oh, shit, it's starting.
Yeah, there's, like, little Tarantino moments, but it doesn't get, like, full-on Tarantino probably till, like, halfway through. And then you're like, that's right, that's what we're watching. Now I know.
Okay. Yeah.
There is no doubt in your mind at one point.
Anything exciting, guys, on Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Jesus Christ, is this what we're resorting to?
No, this is. I'm just trying to get mentions in.
I started it last night, but I got tired. I started watching Enemy, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Enemy is fucking. I watched that on the plane.
I finished it.
Today.
Really fucking good.
Isn't it
that
fucking bizarre? Aren't you like the ending being like, what the fuck?
I feel like I'm probably going to watch it again, maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like that's a movie that I'll appreciate a lot more the second time around. But holy shit, that was a good-ass movie.
Yeah, the acting, and he's so good in that. Well, yeah. Enemy's really good. That one was so weird. That was one that I watched on a plane that I was like, I had no idea what it was about. And yeah, that blew me away. Okay.
I feel like I've never enjoyed a movie on a plane. That's not true. I watched Back to the Future on a plane, but okay. I usually just hate everything on a plane.
I try to sleep.
Planes are not very enjoyable, so.
Okay. All right. Well, what do we play this week? Tim, start.
Me. I finished Final Fantasy Lightning Returns. That was pretty okay. The only redeeming factor of that game was like combat. Everything else was pretty.
That gets a pretty okay when you said the only redeeming factor is the
combat. Yeah, wait. Pretty okay means like.
I mean,
a big
part of the game is the gameplay. So.
Yeah. Okay. But story wise, it's not good.
It's just very. How do I put it? Bad. Is the only way to put it. It's okay. It's a bad storyline.
Okay. Yeah, it's Final Fantasy.
It's like Halo, right? Where
yeah, pretty much. Right,
come on, we had a few good games.
Me and Chief.
I finally beat an XCOM Iron Man run, so I was excited about that.
Nice.
Nice.
I lost 22 total soldiers throughout the whole save. We don't want to talk about that, but I did finally see like the whole story, all the story of the game, and beat it and all that stuff. So it was pretty cool. I'm excited for XCOM 2 to come out at the beginning of February for sure. So, and then that was I played Dragon's Dogma today. That came out Friday. I started playing it today. It's definitely a port. Like you can just tell it was not made on PC. But for what they did for it being a 6-year-old game or 5-year-old game, they did they added some work into the port for it. So, it runs fine for me after I tweaked some of my NVIDIA settings and. I'm happy with it so far. The combat's pretty fun. It's going to be a tough game, I can tell, though. So, kind of like Dark Souls-ish. It's like Dark Souls meets Monster Hunter is the best way I can describe the combat so far.
Okay.
So,
Katie Zen's not here to get triggered to start slopping on the dick of
Dark
Souls.
How dare you compare something to Dark Souls?
Yeah. Next week, he's getting his computer. Oh, yeah. Katie Zen is missing, too. I didn't even... Wow.
He broke his computer. Noticed.
Nobody asked. But, no, his computer's still broken. He's waiting on parts. Yeah. Apparently, yeah, anyway, the amount of times he stuck his dick into that machine finally caught up with him.
He got one of those Japanese, like, teledildonics, whatever it's called. Teledildonics? That's the word. Teledildonics.
Yeah.
Teledildonics. It's virtual sex, basically, where you put your penis in the thing and then and somebody feels it on the other end.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, those things, by the way, in all seriousness, I watched that doc on that. Are those things, like, available? Like, can you buy them?
They've been around for a long time.
I know, but, like... okay, actually not just testing anymore. They're like actually selling
they've been
them.
Products for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I'm a long time user.
Okay, yes. That's what I was getting at. I was waiting for you. Okay.
No, the sex industry pushes a lot of areas forward.
Mm-hmm. That they do.
It's innovative. Yeah. It's like a car, man. You can't just buy last year's model. You gotta innovate.
You gotta get the new one, drive it off the lot and have it lose $10,000 in value instantly.
Yeah,
you don't think the porn industry is pushing virtual reality forward?
Oh, of course they are.
I think they're single-handedly funding it.
Yeah,
basically they probably could. Like, damn, porn is everything. It's my life.
God bless you.
All right. Well, this is now confessions instead of a podcast.
It's not a confession. It's just the fucking truth.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a way of life, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was Tim. Anything else, Tim? Sorry.
No, I didn't play anything else.
Okay. All right. Nikon, what about you? Did you game at all this week? What'd you play?
Winning putt golf, man.
Oh, yes.
Playing the shit out of this game today. Yeah. So good.
Describe it to people that have no idea what the fuck it is.
It's just a golf game on PC, and it's good.
Yeah.
Which is enough by itself. But then it has, like, the, quote, MMO stuff. So there's, like, leveling. Yeah. Like, right now, my dude's level 8. Which you Tiger can use to... Like, you have to get to certain levels to play, like, courses on harder modes or something.
Yeah.
So it has, like, some aspects of that. But, like, from the very start, you're like, okay, it's a golf game. And it's really good. And you can play with other people in it. It's a little clunky,
more
but...
gear? Or, like...
Yeah, you basically can, like, you get gold to, like, buy better clubs.
It so is MMO. Like, so
drive it further.
When
and
I was
stuff.
Over last night, you were showing me, like... Because it is an MMO in the sense of, like... Where you can go like into town and like see all the other players or whatever when you go into the clubhouse or whatever. Like it was so it's Wait, hilarious to
is
see.
Is there like a golfer PlayStation home area?
Yeah,
yeah.
There is.
It's so funny.
Wait,
it's
so funny. I see Taylor. I see Swift right now.
Yeah.
Is this like is this a free game or is this a?
Yeah, it's free. But I see.
I'm downloading this.
Mike just literally spawned in, and he looks like fucking Taylor Swift.
Yep, obviously. He said it. He said he created Taylor Swift. I am the golf queen. Nice.
He just saw me too.
But yeah, watching everybody, like seeing everybody milling around, like the different quests. Like people are getting quests from like the trainer. Like, hey, play this course. It's fucking hilarious.
This sounds awesome. I actually really like golf games. I don't really enjoy playing golf in real life, but
yeah,
golf
games hard
are
as fuck.
Fun.
It's fun.
Because golf games, it removes the parts that I don't like, which is walking or just, like, getting to your ball and, like...
Or actually having to hit the ball, like, drive the ball.
Well, no, I don't have a problem with that. It's just, well, I'm not very good at it. I can't hit it very far. It's just, like, I mean...
Yeah, and the quest stuff, because I have, like, missions and stuff, it's stuff you're going to do anyway, but sometimes it forces you into playing, like, a certain course you may not play other times, so... It's really, they just took a normal golf game and gave it, like, quests to kind of give you, like, a daily challenge or something.
It's on CryEngine?
It is on CryEngine.
So I know it's good.
Oh, fuck.
So, I think give it a shot if you remotely liked any golf game ever. It's free. You can't lose anything. You might like it.
It's
so.
Called Winning Putt. Winning putt.
My hard drive space. It's 2016. Buy a new hard drive. It's, like, $3. That's my response to you.
Wow. Wait, did you just say my hard drive space and then... Answer your own question. Wait, who said the hard drive space thing?
I did.
Oh, okay. You were just being...
Tim's role playing.
Oh, Tim's role playing.
Role playing
gotcha.
As the chat.
Oh, I didn't realize the chat said that. I missed
this. This is an RP server and an RP podcast.
Tim's playing himself. Holy shit. Okay. Wow, that blew my mind. Okay.
Tim blushes.
All right. Drake, what about you? What'd you play this week?
I've been playing a lot of Rocket League as usual. I randomly ended up watching a lot of the Smite World Championships the other week, so I started playing a bit of Smite again.
Do you still suck?
I definitely still suck.
Yeah.
I haven't played any Paladins lately, which I am going to remedy tonight, but...
Have there been any like, significant updates to that game? Besides, like, I played it recently, and there's, like, different modes, but...
Yeah, like, there's a casual mode now... You either it's just capturing points or it's constantly spawning siege engines, which is kind of weird because the games can last just as long as the regular mode. But I don't know. There haven't been any major
updates. I didn't understand
the
reason for adding the different modes because they didn't seem that they're like pretty similar. It's like it's the same concept for each of them.
They're just calling like those like the casual modes and then the regular one, the standard. I don't know. I haven't played a lot because they haven't really changed much and it got kind of stale. So,
yeah.
But other than that, just waiting for this Dying Light DLC to come out because I really enjoyed
that game.
Still
need to play that game.
It's a lot. It's way more fun when playing it with a group. I know Scott, you've been playing it with a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, I've been playing it with Tomb and Laser Parrot and Sham. Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, it's really fun with the group. Yeah. I was really impressed with the whole, I don't know, I'm super late to it. I've had a Dying Light t-shirt since it was announced, like, at PAX 3 years ago.
Yeah, you've been wearing the shirt since, like,
3 years.
The convention it was announced.
Yeah, I know, and I never touched it. And then people would always come up to me and be like, hey, man, you like Dying Light? And I'm like, I've never fucking played it. I just got this shirt at a convention.
Oh, you're a Dying Light fan?
Yeah, and then they get all like, they're like, oh, okay, well, it's really good.
That was sick, dude.
I was like, well, and they're like, that's the end of this conversation, isn't it? And I'm like, yep,
yeah.
Well, thanks, man.
Well, like, revive that game, because it came out a while ago, and you never heard about it, and all of a sudden, now it's like everyone seems to be playing it again.
I don't know.
It was like, because I think it's still $40, maybe $50 on Steam, like full price. But yeah, it was on sale for around, I think, $15 or $20.
Yeah, that's probably
right. Okay. For the winter sale, which is when I picked it up because I figured why not. And, you know, I never heard anything negative about it. It was just, I think it. Mm-hmm. I need to find out what other games came out around the same time because I feel like it just got overshadowed by some other titles or something.
It probably got a pretty good second life with the sale. Plus, it's like the end of the year. Everybody's talking about what their favorite games were from the year. Its name probably got brought up in some conversations.
Yeah, and this DLC that's supposed to be coming out it's supposed to be the same as the Witcher DLC, like in terms of how much content it's going to add to the game.
That's nice.
They recently put in an update because they're getting ready to add like dev tools and stuff for people to make custom maps and other workshop content, which is pretty cool because, like, you know, I don't know, it's been out for a while and they really haven't done anything with it until recently.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the developers are giving really a lot of free stuff, so,
like, considering it's been out since I think April of last year, like, they even touched the game in terms of patching for January of last year, so it's almost a year old now. Mm-hmm. They really didn't anything in terms of patching or like making it compatible for more players, and then out of nowhere, they're just kind of awoken as a dev team again. It seems like
they do pretty regular bug fixes as people like actually find them and report them. So, you know, it's not like they're ignoring anything.
My only problem with this game, and I guess not even the devs themselves, but like just this trend lately, is like the HD definitive editions that are coming out, like, and it's mainly towards consoles that it's happening, but like they're getting one of those whenever the new patch and everything comes out, like it's going to be on PC as well, but it's like I don't even know what it's exactly called, but like there seems to be way too much of that happening.
Yeah, but if you own Dying Light, you get the HD like
upgrade. Which is fine for people that have that, but it just, which is the right way to do it, but a lot of games aren't doing that, it feels like. It's like, hey, give us more money.
Yeah, it's just another way to bleed the consumer, or not necessarily even bleed the consumer, but get people who wouldn't buy it in the first place maybe to buy it. They see HD. It's just a trigger for people. It's like, oh, HD textures? Sick. I sometimes do that. Well, like, anyway, I guess I'll go into what I've been playing. Did anything else strike? Sorry, before I
start. No, that's about it. Just, I played some Melee and some Project M Netplay with Titty recently. That was pretty fun. Okay. The netcode is actually a lot better now. Didn't have that many issues, but yeah, no, that's all I've played.
But speaking of like the remasters, the HD or whatever, so I picked up the remastered PS4 version of The Last of Us or whatever, and people were like, "There's no fucking point. Like, it's just a sham." But what I didn't realize,
I hear it runs. It looked like it runs way better.
It runs at 60 FPS like smooth the whole time, and it's such a beautiful game. I was like,
my biggest complaint for The Last of Us on PS3 was like
the chugging.
I mean, that game is amazing and everything, but like, the performance is pretty rough in a lot of areas, just in general, on the PS3.
So I guess it can.
I have words about Dying Light, and I'll hold them to myself because I'll upset a lot of people.
No, Tim, let it fly. Go ahead. If you're not done with Dying Light, go ahead.
So, I don't want to say because you're like, you just started the game or whatever, but...
Are you going to spoil
like,
something for me, Tim?
Yeah, no, it's not spoilers, anything. Actually. It's not actually spoilers.
Right. Although I hear it
shit on you is what you're going to do.
The story sucks.
There are parts with the voice acting. I'm like, how did people think this voice acting was great? But there's a part in the game where I played it on the hardest difficulty, so it forces you to go stealth the whole game because that's the only way to survive.
Okay.
And then they force combat on you, which is just the dumbest thing ever. Like, they want you to go stealth. They want you to not, you know, get into combat. They want you to, you know, get around the situations without actually going head forth, like, and taking the enemy's head on. And then they force you to go into combat. Mm-hmm. And the combat in that game isn't that... I mean, I played it on PS3. I don't know how it is on PS4. But the combat wasn't that great on the PS3. With just how it handled, so maybe they addressed it with the remastered version. But
you're talking about The Last of Us. You're talking about Dying Light. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about. I was so confused. Okay, gotcha. With The Last of Us. Yes. Yeah. Well, one thing. I'm like 5.5. So I had played like 3.5 hours of it when it first came out on the PS3. The chugging stuff I saw, and I didn't have a PS3, so I was playing it at Machinima at the time, and then I just kind of like stopped playing. And I'm like 5.5 hours in, and I mean the fucking AI in that game is pretty bad for the most part, so I can see like a complaint like that, and I haven't gotten to the stealth section that you're referring to, but But yeah,
just, I mean, it depends on what difficulty. If you play it on the lower difficulties, you could probably just play it on them head on. But yeah, like, I did the whatever hardest was difficult, like, available to you right away.
Yeah.
And like at four, you can't get guns blazing. You have to sneak around and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there just came a point in the game where they're like, you're so used to sneaking around, you're so used to not taking situations head on, and it's like, hey, you're in a room and there's zombies coming from all sides. Good luck, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on, that's just messed up.
When I get to there, but, yeah. But I mean, just as far as like playing and actually like playing a game that actually takes full use of like how powerful the PS4 is as a console. And anyway, I don't know. I just kept commenting like, this game is fucking insane looking. And Nikon, we were talking about Last of Us at your house last night, and you raised a really good point that I hadn't thought about, was that game, there is no, once it loads in, at least on the PS4, there is no fucking loading. It just keeps going and going, and it's seamless. And I realized that I played like five and a half
hours. Presumably, it's behind the cutscenes.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
It's not like you're getting cutscenes a lot.
No,
but yeah,
no, but yeah, I'm saying it doesn't break. Like it doesn't. There's no,
no,
like,
yeah,
no, a really natural break. So like every time I was like trying to have a break, I was like, I actually have to pause the game. Like there's no like natural. And anyway, that was really like, it was really immersive in that sense. And I thought that was a good point. I was like, yeah, I haven't really played a game in a while that does that, where you're just like, it just keeps going seamlessly, and you want to keep playing. So.
Yeah, anyway. I really hope other games start doing that more often. Like, if that becomes the standard, where there's no like abrupt, just like breaks,
loading like, screen, get ready. It really does break immersion in a single player experience, having that kind
of
stuff.
Like the Half-Life 2, like you're flying down the river on a boat, and all of a sudden it's just like beep, loading.
Yep.
It's like that needs to go away. We have the technology. We can do this. Yeah, I don't know who I have to vote for president to make sure this is a thing that happens, but this is what I want.
That's actually, if you vote for Ted Cruz, actually, I think that's one of his stances.
All right. Yeah. I mean,
he's going to have no more loading in video games. Also, there will be no more video games, but anyway, it's a whole other thing.
That solves the loading issue, then.
Yeah, we're just going to be done with the whole thing.
How far are you in The Last of Us?
I am where did I stop?
What season are you on?
I'm still on, I want to say I'm 5.5 hours in, and I'm still on the first season. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I didn't get to the second season yet or whatever.
I feel like the first, I guess would be summer. Summer is probably the longest one.
Okay. Yeah, it's in the summer. Yeah.
Nick, do you ever play the multiplayer for that? I was telling Scott about it. It's like,
no.
It's
really I've watched it. Like, I've watched gameplay of it, but, like, I never got around to it. Mostly because on the PS3, I'm not dealing with a multiplayer shooter in that kind of.
Yeah, definitely not.
You don't have it on PS4. Performs like that.
No, I don't have a PS4. I don't have one.
Oh, damn. Because it's really fun on the PS4, but
yeah, when I get a PS4, I'll probably buy it and then like replay it, just because I think that game's really, really good and not in like a frustrating environment.
Yeah, especially you talking about remembering the chugging, like it'll be a whole different experience.
Yeah,
it's so smooth. It's just like
that really game solid. For me, it's made the purchase of a PS4 worth it. It was like the first game like I really played on it, and I went, you know what, this game alone,
sells the console.
Worth it.
Yeah. Naughty Dog, dude, they're great. I love Naughty Dog. Uncharted. I'll probably get a PlayStation for Uncharted.
Yeah, I got to play that franchise too. I also obviously played some CSGO and fucking what else? There was another one another game I played, but I can't remember. So I'm going to go to Nick and see if I can think of it. What did you play?
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't played anything.
Nothing this whole week. Nope. Not even Halo. Not even Halo multiplayer.
I'm playing Halo right now, but
okay.
I mean, I've become the new Blacklight Attacker of the podcast.
Wow, dude. Just playing games during?
Honestly, the past 4 podcasts, I've been playing Halo 5.
Wow. Okay. All right. At least you're honest.
Except for when I'm drinking dairy products.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Dying Light. Anyway, I've been playing the Dying Light campaign, but we just talked about that. That's why I forgot about it.
It was implied that you've been playing that, piece of shit.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to jump into the news if no one else has anything that they want to share about their week or about gaming. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
God, these fucking...
Gaming sucks, man.
Yeah, gaming's fucking terrible. Can we just make this a food cast already? I don't know why. You know, it's such a struggle to even talk about.
I'm down.
It's time to move on.
Gaming's dead, really, at this
point.
Leftover
pizza, really colder in the microwave. Let's go.
Couch streams are not cooking shows where we just eat food.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm down for that because it's at my house next time at night. I'm down for some food.
There's those Korean streams where people just eat food and they get paid.
True?
It's like Twitch, but it's just people eating food and they get paid like the same amount as like really popular Twitch streamers.
How have I not heard about this? I would kill on there. I love to eat. Is that all? You just have to like to eat and make it look like appealing? I don't know about making it appealing.
They're just eating like, you know, not like super, super large quantities, but, you know, a large amount of food and people just watch them eat.
So are they just ads? Are they ads for the product? Or what?
No, it's just you're the personality and people are like to watch you eat.
Yeah. That's,
In a lot of ways, it's sexualized, but not necessarily. Like,
oh, God, why would you want someone eat food? Why don't you just
like,
eat food yourself?
It's Twitch, but instead of video games, replace that with people eating food.
Is it like a streaming website that's dedicated to it, or is it just like a part of a like another streaming service?
I think so.
I got to look this. Okay, this is blowing my mind. I've never heard about this.
I
don't know. I've never heard about this.
APL, I was not familiar with this either.
Okay, good. You guys are making me. I'm like, what? I have no idea.
It's been around for...
Although,
Twitch has it banned currently. Yeah. Oh, I hope Twitch unbans it because
they have a ban.
Better tell Widgie Bear
or maybe eating.
I'm surprised it's banned because I see streamers eating on their fucking streams all the time.
Oh yeah, that is Nick's trigger. He hates when streamers eat.
If you want this to be your job, take a break and turn your stream off for fucking or put it to a fucking idle screen. You don't have to turn your stream off. Go and eat lunch.
Nah, dog. Here my spoon and my bowl.
Dude,
this is professional. I want to be professional. This is a real job, you guys.
Jesus Christ! You made me.
Nick, people at their real job at real jobs have working lunches. They eat in their boardrooms. Man, it happens, dude.
You don't eat in front of your fucking boss while you're having a meeting. you don't see Target employees standing at the cash register eating a fucking sandwich. Like you go to the break room.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it's called. Mukbang. This eating, this Korean people eating things.
Fuck, that sounds dirty as fuck.
Yeah. Mukbang.
God bless the Koreans.
Mukbang. Porn comes up, I swear to God.
Good luck, Tim.
All right.
Well, we're going to jump. We're going to jump into the news. Wow, I'm learning all kinds of things in this podcast. I'm going to find some videos to watch tonight. People eating. All right. So first up in the news, going to be discussing Hitman a little bit. So Hitman pre-orders have been canceled. Because the game has switched to an episodic release, which I guess was not previously announced. So on Wednesday, a bunch of pre-order cancellations were coming in for people that had pre-ordered the next game. And Square Enix has said that the reason for that is they're switching to an episodic format, which, Tim, I know you have some thoughts about that. But so the game's March 11 release date is still in place, but now it's coming what's actually coming that day is a prologue mission plus the first full assassination set in Paris, and then they're going to be releasing episodically missions in Italy, Morocco, etc.
So each mission's going to be an episode? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Oh my god.
That's what it sounds
like. You hear it in Tim's voice?
Yeah, Tim's not happy about this.
I feel like the only way this could be good is if they, like, rebuilt the game to be episodic, but I don't think that's what's actually happening here.
No. I mean, I'm very doubtful. It sounds they're not ready.
An episodic game series is built around the story. Who plays the Hitman games for the story?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And they're admitting that they're literally admitting that it's not about the story. They're just creating sandboxes to have a lot of fun in, which, again, Hitman games are cool for that.
That's not even a formula that would benefit from episodic stuff.
I don't know.
If you want, they should make a sandbox editor is what they should do, because then people can create their own Hitman missions for each other.
That'll be one of the episodes.
Like, make a Super Mario Maker for Hitman.
For everything.
Well, yeah, make a Super Mario Maker for every fucking game, please. I mean, that's what you see with Halo. Yeah. Halo, you can make your own maps now, and the Forge is, like, super good, which is nice, so.
Wow, I mean, just hear this, though. Okay, so the prologue, the intro pack is $15, and then missions after that are 10 apiece. Players also have the option of buying everything.
How many missions, though, do they say?
Players have the option of buying everything in advance for 60. So, I mean, you can still technically pay AAA game price and just get everything as it comes, you know, pay $60 and then get it all as it releases. I guess, but like, I don't even understand this idea, because if you could offer it for 60 to get all of it anyway, if it's good, who's going to pay $15 and then not buy the missions afterwards anyway?
It depends on how many things there are. Cause it's an interesting thought, cause I can see this kind of working for me, and here's why. I don't want to risk $60 on a game I'm not unsure of, but I will risk 15 to like get a taste of it.
Sure.
And if I like the rest of it, if it's only like a $5 or $10 like
per
more
episode,
than paying full price, I might do that, because then over time I'm going to save more money.
I agree with what Brad is saying, though, in chat. Brad, so I think this is just a cover. I mean, not just a cover, but part of this almost seems like they're like not ready to release the game. So they're like, well, we've already released episodic content before. Let's just take our time and parse it out.
Basically like a soft release for them.
Yeah, just like we won't have to rush.
Which, I mean, is a very popular trend these days.
But Also, but like Square Enix has done stuff before. Darkwing talking about this, but you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake is episodic. Life is Strange they did, which was episodic, which I thought they did a pretty good job.
Both games revolved around their story, though. Like
that's true. That's
true. That's my main thing I come back to. No one plays Hitman to figure out, you know, what life crisis he's going through this time.
Yeah, like, that's true. He's not a very
you play to kill people.
Yeah,
and to have to wait to kill people on a different map or whatever is just
Video games are becoming Netflix. People are not going to watch the entire season, and then they're going to wait till the end, and then they're going to like binge watch. Except now it's video games. That's what this is going to turn things into, because they're all going to be episodic, and you have to wait to finish it.
That's true. Even if it's not that bad, if it's good and all the parts come out, and it's like it ends up if all the content there is worth the amount of money. And like taking the hit to the, you know, the time that you're losing because you're waiting for the new episodes, I guess it could be all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it comes down to like how good the game is overall. Like if it's a piece of shit, then it doesn't matter how many episodes you release it in Minecraft story mode. It's fucking terrible. But again, like Life is Strange is a good example. I think Square Enix did a good job with that. Like the studio and stuff behind that, like that was pretty entertaining all the way through. I forget what the full what you actually paid. Was it $30 for the entire? Maybe it was $15 or $25. Anyway, I felt like you got a lot of content episodically for Life is Strange. Like there was a lot of meat on the bones of that game, and you know I didn't feel like gypped or anything by it. But you know if there's 10 to 12 missions that are all going to be separate, then obviously wouldn't you just pay the $60? Because then it would be more expensive. I don't know. Maybe they're going to pair some missions together. Maybe not every mission is going to be separate. Maybe they'll be like Italy and something else together. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But they are saying, too, that there is – they want to stress that there's not – there is story in Hitman. Like, they're like, there's not no story. It is, you know – the main driving reason is this will allow us – I'm just going to read the quote here. The main driving reason is that this will allow us to create a living game that will expand and evolve over time and establish a foundation for the future. This is the first game in a storyline which we will continue and expand with future Hitman games. Again, though, Tim, I agree. Like, Hitman, storyline, he's not a character that, I don't know, kind of excels at that. But you're right. Like, you just want to fucking kill people in a lot of creative ways. All right. Well
– yeah.
We'll see. We'll keep our eyes on that, guys. I'm sure we'll get triggered about that again in future episodes, as this continues to pan out. All right. So this is a big story here. Origin Access announced for PC, and this is a big story. We talked about this in the podcast previously, but this is the official announcement from Origin, and they claim endless PC gaming for $4.99 a month.
Endless? Debatable.
Yeah. Exactly. That's their line. But play a growing collection of great PC games, try new EA games before they're released, and save 10% on Origin purchases. Cancel at any time. I think this, just looking at it, I would have to take a look at the growing collection that they claim. Is this every game on Origin? I would assume.
No.
Or is it not? It's just very specific.
It's a select number of games.
It looks like there's like 15 games in that vault right now.
Oh, there it is. I see it now. Yeah, I'm clicking on the vault. Okay, so 15 results. Yeah, Battlefield 4, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Is that Battlefield 4 with all the DLC?
Digital Deluxe?
Yeah.
Does that include...
Yeah.
Honestly, I have Battlefield 4, but I don't have all the DLC. So...
It's got Dead Space 3.
If I wanted to play Battlefield 4...
Dead Space 2, though.
It's not that...
Dead Space.
I feel like if they missed out on like what would have really killed for a lot of people right now is if they would have included Battlefront.
Mm.
That's true. Like, yeah, they didn't include.
I feel like if they could have squeezed that in, I bet there would be so many people that would play Battlefront right now if it was just like $5. That's true. And they could play for a month.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at it like at that aspect, like Dragon Age Inquisition, I think is a solid game, and if you can pay for a month, play that whole game and all the DLC in 1 month, that'd be worth it right there.
Yeah.
And all the Dragon Age games, each would be worth it for $5 a month. Dead Space, the whole series is on there. That's a solid series.
Doesn't look like a terrible deal.
Yeah, the service was on consoles, but I mean, it's basically just a month-long rental service if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
I think this is geared towards people who like work a lot, so they don't game constantly, but maybe they have a month where they want to get back into gaming, so they pop down $5. They have all these games they can play, and then at the end of the month, they're like, I'm getting busy again, cancel it. And then, for people like that, that would totally be worth it, because how much would this cost if you bought every single game, even now, at full price? That's a lot of months of this service, many years.
And in the wording, it does seem like they're kind of alluding to the fact that betas, that you were like, will get priority in betas, right? They're saying.
Yeah.
So,
that's a little thing they tack on to help sell it, though.
Right, exactly. Is that actually true? Hopefully. But so $4.99. I mean, again, none of these games, to be honest, though, I'm not a Battlefield guy, so this doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, Dragon Age, I've never played. That could be, I should maybe play that. SimCity. sorry. Dead Space, they have the full Dead Space franchise, Dragon Age. The Sims 3 starter pack. I mean, that's some value.
There are a lot of people that play The Sims.
I know.
There are.
Aren't there like 700? Oh, yeah, The Sims are the most expansions of any game of all time. We've talked about that. And that's
even,
like
even more than Train Simulator?
I think so. Yeah, I think much more.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Train Simulator DLC is like, what, like $1,000 extra?
Well, that's not, those aren't expansions.
Pure amounts of DLC.
I mean, yeah. Just pure amount of
that. Pure amounts of DLC.
It was also like if you added up what everything cost at retail too, it was like the most expensive, you know, if you added every of all time. It's like hundreds of or thousands of dollars or something insane.
People just want to play God, man.
They do. All right, in our next story here, ESPN has decided to become the ESPN of esports, which is an interesting way of phrasing it.
Let's take a poll on the podcast.
What?
Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
Who cares?
I care just in the sense that it's cool to see, again, I'm not looking, validation, esports doesn't need it. Esports has been bred online. It is like, you know, people that watch it and are already familiar with it aren't necessarily going to turn to TV to give a shit or to go to the esports like ESPN and check their coverage. They did hire a lot of like pretty respected esports writers like Slasher and some other people, which is kind of cool. And it's cool to see, like, I don't know, to me it's cool to go to the ESPN website and see next to the NHL there's an esports category. But these are the games that they cover. They cover League of Legends, Dota 2, and Hearthstone. There is no CSGO, which is pretty shocking to me. I don't know, maybe at some point they'll expand their coverage.
I understand why you would not just make it a giant umbrella of all games. But
I think it's a matter of just having people to cover it.
I think it's the talent. Yeah, I agree. I think it's about the talent that they have, and I think they will expand it at some point. But one of my things too, and I talked about but like as far as game accessibility, and again, I think this is just the talent that they could get at the time, and obviously League of Legends, biggest game in the world, along with Dota and League of Legends. As far as MOBAs go, but like as far as accessibility goes, to me, as far as esports, like Counter-Strike is one of the simplest games to just watch and understand what is going on compared to League of Legends or Dota or even Hearthstone. Like, I don't understand why Counter-Strike is. Maybe it's a violence thing or whatever. I don't know. I'm kind of confused as to why that's not right off the bat kind of covered more. The Turner Broadcast Network is obviously doing their like multi-million-dollar. Season or whatever, and it was kind of cool. I don't know if we talked about this when it happened, but they did a crossover with the NBA guys, like Shaq was talking to Thorin and all that kind of stuff, and it was pretty cool. And you know, they were pretty skeptical about it, but
Shaq started talking shit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, do you guys think that actually has any? I don't understand the whole idea. The reason that older like forms of media are getting into esports is because there's so much money in it and they want to get a cut of it.
Oh yeah.
But to me, like the people that already know about esports and watch it, there's going to be very few people of the older generation who don't understand gaming and hear esports and see people playing video games and are like, you know, what the fuck is this, that are going to see this on TV and it's going to change their mind. Do you know what I mean? I still don't really understand the drive.
That it's going like it.
They know
there's
it's
already been
huge.
Events on the there's already yeah. been events on national television where there's been, you know, video games played competitively on, you know, national television. They know it's going to get to that point sooner rather than later, and they're, like you said, they're capitalizing it on the money standpoint. But if they can get the rights to most of these games be played on ESPN or even ESPN 3 or university or whatever, like that's money that they're going to make that they're holding off from anyone else, like NBC Sports or
Fox Sports. You're right. And like, and the funny that you bring up broadcast rights, because that's a huge issue. Even this week, there was a lot of, like, right now, it's still somewhat a little bit unregulated. Like when you have big CSGO tourneys, like people are not even big ones. Obviously, big ones, they don't want people streaming their POVs and stuff like that if it's like not in person. But it's going to get to the age where, it's I don't know, we're going to be seeing this lockdown a lot more because it's still a little bit the Wild West when it comes to these big esports tournaments as far as, like, broadcasting. And you're right. Yeah, you're right. When you're talking about rights, I think that's probably what they're setting up to do. But I don't know. I think it's cool. Does any? I don't. Nick says he doesn't care. What do you guys? You know, Tim. What do you think? What do you think?
Drake, I mean, Nick, I'm not. I don't watch much esports myself, just for lots of reasons. The only stuff I watch is FGC stuff, and the fact that they kind of like they have like on their website they have a list of like all major FGC events like going on over the next year, and they left out, or not FGC, just lots of esports events over the next year, and they left out all the FGC events like at first. So to me, like, I don't know, it's just I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's okay. Just to let that all out. And then it's added now afterwards after a big, how do I put it? A lot of people made a fuss about it.
Yeah, but... no, the president or whatever of ESPN said that esports are not sports. And this was like a month and a half ago or 2 months, and now they have an esports section on their website. So, you know, a little bit of a mixed message.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll see. I mean, no one can deny, I mean, we talk about, I feel like we talk about esports every single cast, but this is, I mean... Esports has never been bigger than it is currently, and there's a lot of reasons for that. It's growing like just an insane amount, so it's cool to see. It's cool to see. I don't know. Well, I think a couple of people talked about, they were like, yeah, ESPN is getting in, but there's still an opportunity. I still think there's an opportunity for a company to actually be the ESPN of esports that isn't ESPN, regardless of that they're just covering, you know, they have a section on their website, like an actual legit kind of sports center set up for, and maybe they're going to be working on that. Who knows? I don't know in the future, but. I don't think this is done. I think you're going to see a lot more companies getting involved. All right, this next story is just to trigger Nick Fenton, because I know he loves Twitch Plays. So Twitch Plays has been made a genre of its own on Twitch, and I will read here. This is a PC Gamer article. If it'll actually load here. There it is. Okay, so. Twitch had to step in to stop the escalation before someone got hurt with all of these Twitch Plays genres. Twitch Plays Dark Souls, you guys know, obviously the original was Twitch Plays Pokemon, Nick, sorry. Category favorites have included Twitch Plays Robot with actual robots, Demon Souls. There's been a bunch of different ones. And this was the quote on it. The cascading creation of ideas inspired by Twitch Plays Pokemon has been the most rewarding part of having created the experience, the anonymous founder said. Since the addition of Twitch Plays category will greatly improve discoverability, I hope this further encourages people to make their own streams inspired by my channel.
No, they beat Dark Souls, actually, I think.
Did they beat Dark Souls?
Let me look.
Damn, that's pretty impressive.
They beat it.
Isn't that the screenshot at the top of the article?
Oh, that is. You're right. That is.
See.
Yeah,
let
it is the screenshot.
Let me see which boss it is.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know, actually.
No, that's not the right boss.
Okay, never mind. So what do we... the top comment on this is don't care. But does anybody else have thoughts on this? Nick.
I mean, it's...
I think
good
it's,
for them.
I think it was a cool idea originally. Do you think should it have its own category? I mean, it is a kind of a thing of its own. In a way, people trying to crowdsource playing
the
game.
The thing I like about it is it's kind of like a way of inspiring other people to get into coding or learning how the like API works and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of giving a nod to those people, because if they're really good at that, eventually Twitch is going to find out and eventually they're going to hire them on. So it's almost like they're building a little pathway for
that's an interesting way
other people
it.
To
yeah.
like get involved with it and learn and new ideas. And because, you know, the people that come up with this kind of stuff, they have to have all kinds of good ideas.
Sure.
They're just constantly thinking of stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, the idea of Twitch Plays a video game is interesting. And it's a different way to look at something. But the fucking overflow of games on Twitch Plays, whatever. Like, there's so many games that should not be Twitch Plays.
Yeah, but do they get any viewers, though?
There's only 12 channels live. Twitch Plays.
It was more of a problem right when Twitch Plays Pokemon really blew up.
Oh, yeah.
We're making like fucking Twitch Plays Epic Meme Simulator.
Well, right. Yeah, that's why.
Fishbowl Simulator. There was one of those.
That's why you have to have a good idea, because there's a lot of people who didn't have good ideas and like those channels never went anywhere. But you had some people who.
Yeah.
They came up with like other ways to come up with a cool twist on it. Because what was the one where the fucking goldfish, like depending on where it moved, it was an input? I was like, that's a. Clever idea. Cool. And I could imagine myself going, dude, here's a fucking brilliant idea. You're probably stoned out of your mind to think of a fucking goldfish controlling a video game. But then you take that and you have to like implement it, tracking the goldfish and and then inputting that into the Twitch API and figuring out how, what games work with that, I think that's kind of interesting.
I get what you're saying, Nikon.
So it's kind of empowering.
Kind of discovering maybe some coding talent and stuff like that, and yeah. creative yeah. people.
I appreciate
people
that it exists.
That aspect of it, but
yeah. I think so. I agree with you, Fenton, on that there was way too many, because a yeah. lot of them were just like, there was a, someone made a program, released it, so it made it easier for them, and they're just like, okay, yeah. this game, and just put it out there. And it wasn't interesting at all.
So yeah. Along with this, sorry, go ahead. What are you saying?
Well, I just want to say, are we really surprised that Twitch acknowledged a gimmick?
No.
We're not. No. I'm not. I'm especially not.
I mean, again, but it's just like anything. Anything that's a good idea can always be taken by people that aren't as talented. And, you know, anyway, I feel like everything, if there's a shred of a good idea, people are going to just keep taking it until, and doing, like you said, Nikon, stuff that isn't as successful. And we can kind of forget about that stuff and just see the ones that are good. But, I mean, I don't know. I kudos to the people that actually stay in there and actually spam the chat to try to get it done. I don't. That's a whole nother level of patience. I want to mm-hmm. meet the person who sat through the entire Dark Souls playthrough with their, you know, spamming their commands to try to get that done. I mean, that's just fucking insane. And I guess also the idea too, where it's like, okay, eventually if we're gonna get anywhere, we need to stop the spamming bullshit. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, like, we have to work together to actually get it done. Sham's actually talking about that in the chat now. Like, the idea of absolute chaos had to be taken away if we were going to be Dark Souls. So let's work together. So, I mean, that's cool that it can kind of foster that environment, at least on Twitch, because, you know, it's not always about togetherness on Twitch as much as we would like it to be, right? But,
talking about it, it's a family.
That's true. Yeah, it's a family. Family that spams Kappa a lot, but,
Look at all these cool custom Kappa emotes, dude.
That's right.
I saw some earlier in the chat. They got football helmets on. Whoa! Whoa!
And the referee. And the referee.
These Kappas got helmets now.
Oh, dude, this football.
There it is.
Played out.
It's Kappa Blitz, by the way, if you want to spam it yourself.
Not played out at all.
Nick, you want to go off on Kappa at all? Or?
I mean, it's for people that, like, can't convey their sarcasm in a way, so it's like, here's my statement, Kappa.
Yeah. I'm gonna go off on a rant real quick because I did this earlier.
Go ahead, Tim. Do it, Tim.
So
it's my boy,
I
Tim,
am sick and
rant.
Tired of people using Twitch emotes in their tweets and yes, or other yes. daily yeah. things other than Twitch yeah. chat.
Hallelujah!
Like, not
Tim.
Everyone and their mother has this fucking application or this yeah. add-on that lets you Preach. See the Twitch emotes on the Twitter. So
what are
stop.
You talking about, just Dan's stop. Game?
I'm gonna fucking kill you, Mike.
Dance
I don't
it's
even know what that emote is.
Ever.
I have seen people use that in tweets say... more than I have on Twitch. I don't even know what the dance game fucking it's, thing is.
I just did it for you.
I probably
worse
will
if you say it out loud. It's worse if you say it out loud.
It's same thing. If people use it in actual casual conversations and they say it instead of just typing it in the oh my god, nuts, I'm gonna kill you.
No, but the chat's just gonna do it to troll you.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's. Just stop. No one, half the people don't even
oh,
know what you're talking
about.
Just
went met up with this streamer at PAX, touched his butt, haha, Kappa. Every
if you can't
streamer.
Actually see the physical emote, then, like, you know, it's on the universal platform where it's at, then, like, Discord's going to have those implemented. That's okay, because sure. you can actually see the emote. You're not just typing it out, like, the actual word and just having the word there.
Well, the other thing is Kappa becomes a replacement for any kind of actually clever thought, too.
Yeah.
So people can just write like, whatever the fuck they want, garbage, and then they put Kappa at the end. It's like,
your
oh!
You should make your... If you're it's making like, a sentence that's clearly sarcastic, I should yeah. be able to read it and be like, oh, this is a joke.
Exactly.
And yeah, if you can't do it, then you're just not doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You shouldn't...
You don't
like,
have to...
It's a crutch on sarcasm.
Yeah, you don't have to use it all the time. Like, yeah, agreed. Well, I mean, we're calling a lot. I know we're calling a lot of people that are watching this live right now, so I'm sure
you have bad behaviors and you can fix them. You're not a bad person because you use Kappa in regular life. Like, you're a person. Like, you can be better too.
There you
go.
We
can all be better people.
So, real quick, before we move on from the Twitch plays, one more thing I do want to talk about. Brad raises a good point. So, I don't know if you guys ever played the game Party Hard, but that had Twitch integration that I thought was actually pretty clever.
Yes.
Where the Twitch chat can, I guess they, is it, did they vote on what the next kind of like inserting certain, like a bear into the game to try to like
yeah.
sabotage
yeah,
you
so
or
like,
the cops
it'll
come.
Come up like, you know, chat event coming up.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Vote for, you know, bear, biker gang, you know, pool girl
That's
or whatever.
What it was. Yeah.
And they type 1, 2, 3, or 4 in chat and then it'll put in the votes that way. And then,
yeah, you know, whatever gets
it's open
on,
for so long. And then once the vote closes, it'll summon whatever. The chat decides to vote for or whatever.
And I thought the integration actually was pretty cool. It definitely made the game more difficult than, you know, playing it with Twitch chat and letting them just invade your game with random stuff at different times. So I think it definitely can be done well.
Choice Chamber is another one. I want another one of those games. It was like the first one that did that. That's a good one where you can kind of vote to see how like the level's going to be the next. Like if you get ice powers or if it's going to be a bouncy level or if there's going to be, you know, double jumps or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another good one. Those games are cool if they can pull it off properly. It's just
Choice Chamber. The problem with that one was there wasn't enough variety. This other game sounds cool.
Yeah.
There needs to be enough variety that it stays fresh. Not like, oh, you guys got me with the double jump again.
Again,
there's one of three really annoying things in this game. Nothing else. It got boring after a while. The levels were all the same.
Yeah.
Like the idea was great, but someone needs to improve on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right, we're going to do some quick hits here real quick. Twitter gaming is now a thing. There's a Twitter gaming account. From what I've seen from it so far, I couldn't give less of a shit. And this is not talking shit. I just...
So like, what's the point
I haven't
of it?
Seen... I So there was... Okay. This is the statement from Twitter. There are thousands of gaming-related tweets sent to Twitter each day. Whether folks are discovering a new game, tweeting at a gaming personality, keeping up with gaming news... or following their favorite esport, we want to make it easy for gaming fans to find and join the most vibrant conversations about games. From what I've seen of the feed,
Will they retweet my stream?
I don't know. Fuck them. I just haven't seen anything yet that's like, wow, man, I really should follow. I mean, again, I guess it depends on how savvy you are, but I think most people like can just follow the people that they want to follow. Like, I guess they're trying to curate the experience.
Is it like the equivalent of the front page of YouTube nowadays, where it's just like the biggest people and like that's all you see?
It's been a mix of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of bigger people that get retweeted, but
So I'm on the page now. 1, 2, 3, 4 tweets down. Twitter gaming retweeted. Hashtag tweet. This is from GOP teens. Hashtag teens is at PewDiePie the Antichrist and has all these different emotes.
Yeah. I mean, they tweet some like a mix of stuff. Okay. Like it's not all.
Above that is a guy doing a sweet ninja defuse in Black Ops 3. That's actually,
but kinda... I mean, so
I don't. I'm not. I'm sure not the kind of person that follows things like that, though. Like I follow people for the most part. There's only a few cases where I'll follow like a game or an organization. Like I don't like. I want to hear what people say, not what like Target is saying about like what's going on today.
Yeah,
I don't want to see every Polygon
the
article.
Only thing
if I want to read
Denny's and Arby's.
No, Denny's is fucking like garbage meme regurgitation. Like, wow, that's all it is.
All right, and that's the podcast.
And we're done.
Fucking talk about Denny's again. They follow me, goddammit.
I don't approve of that kind of talk about Denny's either.
I really like what Webb just said in chat. He said the word gaming is the new gluten-free. You just add it to everything. Mm-hmm. And it does. That is the best way to describe what it is. I mean, it really is. It's like it's hip to have the word gaming in
your
shit.
Now I'm thinking of like applying gluten to things that have gaming. So it's like YouTube gluten.
So, that's really well said. Funny thing about that, with my new job, like we have to go around and make sure all like the proper decals are up for these grocery stores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we have like these gluten-free decals that we put up on cases or stuff like that.
Yes.
I'm like, so where do we put these like in front of the gluten-free foods? My dad's like, I don't even know if that's in there. Just put the sticker up. They have to have it up. I'm like, oh, okay.
Put it everywhere, dude.
So I don't think these stores have gluten-free food because I'm just putting that sticker up wherever the hell I feel like it now.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where
there's
no gluten-free section anymore.
Do you guys remember when fucking game, like we were all fucking nerds and it wasn't cool? I mean, this is what, now it's cool to a certain extent. It's hip.
Gaming, dude.
And it fucking sucks now.
Yeah, dude.
God. I love gaming.
It was so much better when we were outcasts.
I'm a gamer.
Nerds.
I'm here.
It was so much better when you couldn't hear one of the people because the volume was too low, but the other one was perfectly fine. Man, that's when it was good. Now it's all professional, like on ESPN. It's bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's
great now. There's
gamers
no reason
are here
to complain.
For good, okay? Accept it.
Yeah. It is just funny to see how far the pendulum has swung over the last, like I would say even like 5 years. How
we're not just nerds in your mama's basement anymore. Kappa.
God damn it, the camera. Anyway, so if you want to check it out, if you need your shit curated for you because you don't actually know who to follow, then check out Twitter Gaming. But it does just feel like another grab. Like, okay, we need to, let's nail this.
I don't
account.
Need more of that in my life.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Amazon gives Prime members 20% off games during pre-orders and new releases, which I think is a pretty
that's
nice a pretty feature.
Good deal. If they
yeah,
because
they're
that
retroactiving
digital?
It too. It's like if you already pre-ordered a game, they're just gonna apply it.
Yeah, it says 20% off new physical video games during pre-order through weeks after release. Discounts will be applied automatically at checkout. Offer valid when shipped and sold by Amazon. Offer will automatically extend to all existing Prime member pre-orders.
Well, so. I don't. The only games that like that I ever get that are physical are Xbox games. So it's like,
yeah, no, I know.
I probably
yeah.
won't. That's the only time I buy games off of Amazon, basically. But I'm glad so, that this.
At least I don't have to go to GameStop now. I could.
Yeah, it's good.
It's 2016, but
dude, what? I went to GameStop to buy a used copy of The Last of Us on PS4.
Why would
It's also really good because I don't want to buy like a collector's edition or whatever. Like you get that 20% off now. Like that's a pretty big discount.
As a streamer, you don't offer your audience new games. You go and buy used games and present used games to your fucking viewers.
Yeah, they don't fucking care. They don't care if it's used.
You're fucking disgusting.
And I don't want to. I don't always want to.
You're buying lean meat and fucking big streamers are buying fucking that sirloin, boy.
That's sirloin. Buying the game at $60 is the sirloin and playing it at $60.
Yeah, God. Fuck you. Buy new for your fucking audience. You don't care about them, do you?
No, I really.
I would never serve my audience used games.
Okay. All right. I'll remember that. Also, going into GameStop, I don't know if this is a new thing, but every GameStop I've gone into, I've gone to like three GameStops in the last like year, but they were all
depressing.
No, yeah, well, depressing, but there was only women working there in almost all the stores.
Because gamer girls are here.
I don't know. Like not that it struck me as a little bit.
I've never experienced that, but I also haven't been to a GameStop since like 2009.
I feel like. Girl gamers were like, yeah, I'm going to go work at GameStop. Because anyway, I've just noticed that. I feel like that was a change from when I used to go in that store more regularly. Or when I used to go to Funko Land. There weren't that many girls working at Funko
Land. Oh, the Funko Land.
Back in the day. But, all right. Well, anyway, yeah, it's a pretty... If you're going to buy, I guess, physical copies of games.
But don't they just ship it with a code? It's like a box, but it comes with a code? Because that's how I got Titanfall.
Sometimes it's like that. It depends on the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The other thing, though, too, like when it comes to digital is I think I have a 500. Do I have a 1 terabyte or 500 gig PS4? Maybe 500. Like after a while and just buying everything digital and installing it, like your hard drive space, like fucking The Last of Us.
Yeah, but you have to install the games anyway. So you're taking up space regardless.
Yeah, but I don't think it installs I don't think it's not the same. It still uses some of the disk, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong.
I mean, well, even but you're still using some space.
Yeah, you're using some, but it's still different than like having the actual.
That is
DVD.
True, though. Like it sucks because I'm like
takes a lot of space.
I 500 gig Xbox, and I'm like 70%, and I own like 6 or 7 games.
That's what
maybe
I'm
probably like yeah, like 6. It's ridiculous.
All right,
but you can't expand. You could put an external on, I guess. So it's not that bad.
Okay. Is it really true? So okay, well then I'm totally. I did not realize it was the exact same amount if you have the physical. Well, that's retarded. Then I would have just bought digital. I really thought you saved space. That's insane. I did not realize that. I don't know if that's true. I don't. You know what? I'm not willing to accept that. I'm gonna do some research. I feel like it has to use.
I think
some
for the
of
most
it.
Part, it's true because you get faster load times if it's on a hard drive versus a disk.
Yeah. That
so.
Makes sense. Fuck. All right. Well, whatever.
That's true.
All right, HTC Vive pre-orders, this is the last of the quick hits, are confirmed to start on February 29th if you want to get an HTC Vive.
I wonder what the price is going to look like.
Yep, really that's all I'm curious about at this point.
$550 sold.
You really? I was thinking it'd probably be more than Oculus would be.
I want to know if they're shitting their pants because they were going to release it for like $900 and now they're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Now we have to go way below.
Okay,
what
here's
we were
a question because we talked
the
about
Vive seems like it's a much bigger experience than Oculus is just in terms of technology. So,
is anybody here going to buy any of these when they first release at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll probably get if I really want it, I'll probably get like the second gen Vive. Just
I'll
from what I've, heard, what I've heard based on that.
Okay.
I might get one if I can actually go try one and get a decent amount of time in it. I'm not going to buy one until I try it for $600, especially the Oculus.
Yeah,
if it's incredible and they fixed a lot of stuff from the DK2, which I don't think they can at that resolution, I think it needs to be higher. Mm-hmm. But if I'm wrong because they figured out a way to do it, I might buy one. But I'm going to wait because, one, the price will eventually go down. I think I'm going to buy it once the price drops, if it does, or it has enough time. But the main thing is games. Games need to support this, and it needs to be fucking easy as hell to play. Because right now, with the developer kit, it's more complicated than it should be when
to get stuff
this thing is out and whenever they finally like start shipping them. But right now, it's still incredibly hard.
That's a big reason why I'm going to wait for the second generation is like for devs to have their time with whatever comes out now so that there's actual stuff for it to use it with when they do come out. Because right now, there's not much.
I'm in a Halo lobby, and somebody is playing Chris Brown, Look at Me Now, through his microphone.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like I haven't used the Vive. I've only used the Oculus, but I feel like the Vive is, like, way more up my alley from the descriptions I've heard. And I don't even, like, at first, I don't even think I really want to play games, because I feel like the games are going to be really gimmicky at launch. So, like, what I want to do is I just want to sit in an environment in virtual reality. Just, like, sit in, like...
On a casting couch, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, like, mm-hmm. just, like, you could go anywhere. If you wanted to relax, you could go to, like, a Zen garden.
Yeah, sure.
You could just, like, you could go anywhere you wanted and just, like, hang out there. That's what I want.
Somebody made a mod, I think. I don't know if it was for the Vive or for the Oculus, but it was, like, sort of a virtual workspace, like with a mm-hmm. count. It was basically just having, like, a desktop type environment, but it was just in front of, like, a camera feed, you know, of what your vision would actually be, but it just puts stuff in the air in front of you. It's kind of cool, but I don't know if they've actually put anything like that into like a commercial product.
I feel like the non-gaming stuff is what's going to get people in, though.
Yeah, if the resolution is higher, the thing that I think you're talking about is like a virtual desktop.
Yeah.
If I actually messed with that, because I have Bob's Oculus right now, the only reason I don't use that, because it works really well, is you can't read any text unless it's big enough because it's too pixelated.
Yeah.
But if they fixed it to where it was just as clear as looking at a screen that I have on my desktop, absolutely, I'd throw that on and use it all the time because it's way better.
Yeah.
I think. The only thing that sucks about it is if you're like me and you can't type without looking at your keyboard from time to time, you might not like it there too because I have to take it off to type sometimes. I'm typing a lot.
Okay. Alrighty, let's do some new releases here. We just have two that we're going to highlight. So Resident Evil Zero, the remake for the PC, is out on... I thought I had the date. It is January 19th, so that is Tuesday, I'm assuming, right? Yes, that would make sense. Tuesday, and it is $20. $20, so I think I'm definitely going to be either picking this up or trying to get a copy from Capcom. Looks like it will be... I'm sure it'll be pretty decent. And Darkest Dungeon, that comes out. Has that been in
early access for a while? 8 months now.
8 months? Okay.
Yeah.
So that is actually releasing... Where the fuck is their release?
It's on Tuesday as well.
Same thing. Yep, on Tuesday, on the 19th. So
early access games that actually come out.
Yeah, this is crazy, dude. We should send this. We should email this to...
They've actually had a lot of... DayZ. They've been working on it, too. They've been updating it frequently.
Yeah. Do you play Darkest Dungeon?
So. I played it when it first came out. It's really punishing. It has so your characters have permadeath, so if they die, mm-hmm. you know, they're gone forever.
Oh, it's a roguelike.
Kinda. I mean, I guess so. Yes. I didn't play too much of it when it first came out.
It's a roguelike.
I
just want to keep saying roguelike.
There's different classes and stuff like that. It's a pretty good game. If you're looking for a challenge, it's definitely something to check out for sure.
All right. Let's get into some viewer questions here. We have one. I don't even want to read this one, but it's in here, and we'll humor Dr. Rage for a second, all right? So Dr. Rage asked us via email, if a guy were to crack open a can of Campbell's tomato soup, pour it into a pan and heat it, then proceed to pour the heated soup into a cup with ice cubes and drink it, is it tomato soup or tomato juice? And another thought, why isn't heated apple juice considered apple soup instead of apple cider?
It's so the consistency of the apple cider that doesn't make it a soup. It's a cider. It's a juice at that point.
Well, I don't know if it's a consistency.
Soup needs a broth, right?
Yeah. Isn't that what we discussed with soups? Yeah. I think we did have this before where we said that soups has to have a broth of some kind. That's what makes it a soup.
You always throw in like... some milk or water or something. So no, you don't just heat it up.
If you put ice cubes in it, it's still a soup because if it starts out as a soup, I don't think adding ice cubes to it and drinking it in a cup changes that.
Well, it just depends on what's in the can. Is it just pure tomatoes or are they putting other stuff in it? Because I'm pretty sure tomato juice is just blended tomatoes.
He's saying Campbell's tomato soup. He's
saying that. So it doesn't change just because you.
But it's still soup.
It's still a soup.
Yeah, because I think it's more than just chopped up tomatoes.
Why isn't heated apple juice considered apple soup? Because heated apple juice does not have a broth. It's just a juice.
Yeah.
So, actually, this is a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Science.
Yeah,
you took the tomato soup and you just put it in a cup with ice cubes. Like, that's all you did after heating it. Like, it's still soup.
It's still soup.
You're just cooling it down so you don't burn your tongue.
There you go. Wow. That feels good to just, nail one of those questions just out of the park like that. Without any kind of controversy. Little life hack for you about soup. It has to have a broth. Okay. Bustler
is a sweet spot, by the way.
Bustler Hustler asks us, how emotionally invested have you been in a video game or video game character? It's pretty so I guess maybe our top most emotional video game investments.
Mine is Kingdom Hearts, just the whole series.
Most recently, probably Brothers, Tale of Two Sons.
That's the one with the two kids finding their dad, right?
Yeah.
Because there's two,
basically.
Yeah. There's two games, like, they're titled the same.
There's another one. I forget what it is.
Okay.
Unless I mixed it up with the other one on accident. It's very possible.
I don't know. Normally when people talk about it, they talk about the one you're talking about.
I'm trying to think of anything, like, lifelong, like characters that I'm, like, just attached to just because they've been around. Like, I'm not really attached to Master Chief or anybody from Halo. Like, there's not like a character in Halo that I'm like, man, I love him.
I think about him all the time.
I love you, Sarge.
Oh my god.
I guess I don't know. It hasn't aged all that fantastically. But Half-Life 2, I was pretty invested in Alex Vance's character.
That was
a pretty good character.
That's valid. I'd say that's a good one.
Because that's a pretty emotional... Anyway, the ending of that game is, if you don't know by now, spoilers. Anyway. But yeah.
Fucking die.
I would say I really like Bioshock Infinite. I know a lot of people didn't really like
Bioshock
that game.
Yeah, Bioshock Infinite was good.
But I thought as an actual ride overall, I was really invested in the characters in that. Soma, I've said this many times. Soma was a really good... you're really invested in the main character.
I kind of got invested with Corvo and Dishonored.
Please shut the fuck up, dude.
Come on,
Dishonored game of the year. I'm glad you brought it.
Come on,
oh god,
who invited this kid?
Like, him was sad.
My favorite part of that game is the end. My favorite part of the game is basically you just pick your ending. You're like, it's like, do you want the good ending or the bad ending? And that's it.
We were talking about it earlier, The Last of Us. Like Scott and I were talking about that game in the beginning, and if some of you haven't played it, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's just the moment where you just feel like you got stabbed in the gut. I was streaming it, and I like turned off my webcam because I was getting misty-eyed. I'm like, I'm not crying on the screen.
Another good one, if you want to talk just emotionally, like it hits you, is To the Moon.
I haven't played it.
It's really, really good. It was made in RPG Maker. I can't remember what version of it. It goes on sale for like $2 a lot on Steam sales. It's like a 4-hour game. Like, I suggest anyone that hasn't played it to play it, because it'll definitely it'll jerk your tears a little bit, but it's well worth it.
Okay. I'm trying to think of anything.
Atlas from Clicker Heroes.
My god.
Oh shit.
I just realized it's a celebration. I've been clicker free for like 6 months.
You're free. 1365 hours in Clicker Heroes.
You have a fucking problem.
No, I've been clean for months. Like, that's how bad it got in like
you had
2
a problem.
Months.
Congrats.
I'm about to get back into the MMO grind when this.
You're just giving something up again? And picking up another habit. You're a fucking disgusting addict.
Oh yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
Georgie from Papers, Please. Yes, he's a solid character that everyone can get attached to.
I am.
Papers, Please.
He. God damn it! No, Georgie's like this little guy that is never. When you're playing Papers, Please, like you have to have certain documents, and he never has them. But the way his lines are delivered, you just feel bad for him, so you let him through anyways. Like, it's like a 3-strike rule in that game as well, and then your day's over. You would always save a strike just for Georgie, because he just. He got to you. He was like just that lovable man that you wanted to let through all the time, no matter what.
Yeah.
You're a lovable man.
I try.
Fuck Georgie.
Wow.
Fuck, I'm trying to think. There's a game recently. I'm trying to think, like, of decisions that gave you tough decisions. It's Nick's favorite game. Spec Ops The Line. Yeah. For emotional investment. Definitely.
I need to play that. Actually a pretty good shooter.
Kind of just stirring the pot. I definitely, Nick and I are in pretty similar agreement about Spec Ops
that
Line.
Game.
I just so overhyped, really. in a lot
it's
of
like
ways.
It's like a game made by teenagers.
Who think they just discovered that fucking style of that
choice,
story.
Dude? This game has choices.
Yeah, I know people are gonna get mad.
There's only like four choices, and you can't
really
avoid any
bad?
Of them.
That's the point, Nick. That's the
it's
point.
Not bad. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It is an okay game, but everybody like fucking blows this game's dick.
Yeah,
the game screams that you should have choices, but it only gives you a couple, and some of them are unavoidable. Like, there's, I won't. I'm not.
I know. Yeah, I'm triggered. I triggered him. I know. We've talked about this a bunch. I played, I didn't really, speaking of games that are supposed to be like an emotional, Gone Home, did you guys all play Gone Home?
Yeah, that was no. a good one. That was like,
I thought
that
it
was a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an open drawer simulator.
Oh, yeah, well.
Heavy Rain?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Gone Home is sort of strange, though, because like, I didn't, for 3/4 of the game, I wasn't like super invested, and then it was like the last act, it was, well... act, but like the last bit, it was just like this big swell of emotions.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't say I was like, I wasn't invested in that character. I just really liked that story.
Yeah, the story is pretty.
I like how they executed it. I wasn't a huge fan of the story. I thought it. Yeah. I kind of thought it was predictable at the end, personally. But whatever. Like some people really liked it, and that's. I can understand why. I kind of want to see more of this. In the future of your, it's not really a game, but it's like an interactive story or like interactive movie.
Yeah, I played
you're controlling
see, that,
the character.
That type of stuff I feel will be really good for VR.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Like but if they did a Gone Home with VR like intended, I think that could be fucking incredible.
Yeah, like you're picking up notes and stuff and reading them yourself, like just sitting there and doing it on your own. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, the detail on it, like it's definitely. I didn't think it was worth $20 back in the day, but
yeah,
I kind of want to go replay it just for all the detail again. So maybe I was wrong, but now you can get it on sale from time to time, I'm sure. So it's a good experience.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I agree, especially in VR. I'm always down for if it's reasonably priced and it's like okay, it's gonna be a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour, and it's not you know like you said like walking simulator, opening drawers. But if the story's well done, then I'm always down for that. All right. Person asks us via email, I have no problem browsing websites or playing games on my phone while pooping. But the other day at work, I saw somebody pull their phone out while at the urinal, and I felt like they had gone too far.
Yeah, that, yep.
I feel like that's a risk that you're just taking.
Like they were trying too hard or they were too connected. What is your opinion? How far is
what
too
game
far?
Are you playing? Like,
well, maybe they're not playing the game. Maybe they're just texting or something. But
well, I checked Twitter while taking off. Yeah.
Numerous times in the airport, I've gone into like a red eye flight. There's nobody else in the bathroom, and like a guy in a suit comes in, and is just loudly talking at his phone. Just walks up to the urinal and one hands it.
Yeah,
while speaking on the phone the entire time. The part that annoys me though is that they leave without washing their hands because they're still on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go down that.
How long
is your piss going to be that you can't like keep your phone in your pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I'm even less talking about on the phone. Even if you get to the urinal and you're you know having to check Twitter, you can't be. I think the question is like,
I do it at work because especially lately I don't have time to check Twitter anymore. So unless I'm doing it on like my break, which is me pissing or my lunch.
Okay,
so you're like something could have happened that could
just always be taking a dump.
Because I check Twitter a lot, so. Yeah. I'm definitely addicted to it. So before I would just always have a constant feed of it. Now it's like
see, locked to me,
off. But
like,
when
I
had
know.
The constant feed and I was just going to take a piss, I wouldn't check it then. And now I can't get my fix.
Twitter is one of those things for me that I only go back like a half hour on my timeline whenever I do get a chance to check it. Like I didn't know David Bowie died for like 3 days because no one mentioned to me in my stream chat. I didn't see it on my Twitter timeline at all. Surprisingly.
How?
And I don't, Tim. I know. Trust
How?
Me, I know. And every time I went to check Twitter, there was nothing about it. Like, it was just one of those things. And I don't like go on like news sites or whatever to check the latest news. Like, it's just one of those things where I didn't hear about it. It's one of those things.
Well, if you actually really think about though, if you stop and think about how much time is actually spent, like if you're actually idle for a moment, right? And you don't, and you're not on your phone, like, I'm just trying to think if I have any idle time, unless it's like I'm trying to have a conversation or I'm like, all right, yeah. But it's like now it's a thing where it's like, okay, I'm literally putting my phone away. It's a conscious decision. Do you know what I mean? Like if I'm having a meal with people or I'm doing whatever else, it's like I'm going to put my phone away. It's a more conscious decision. But it really, I mean, it really is. It's scary. Like, if you don't realize how much, or like even people will point out to me, like sometimes I'll like, or you ever just open something, close it, and then opening it a second later?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
And I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Like, it's just like, it's like a tick for me sometimes where I'm just unlocking my phone. Actually, not so much that I have when I have my password on, but on like my tablet, I don't have a password. It's just like the swipe to unlock, and I will swipe to unlock just like therapeutically. Yeah. It's just like,
I know. It's weird. Like, I'll close all my apps and then I'll reopen the same thing I was looking at. I know there'd be nothing new there, but I'll still do it. It really is.
Internet fridge.
It's addictive. So I don't know. How far is too far? I guess I don't know. Like, we haven't really weighed in. I mean,
I would just say you're taking a risk when you do it because you slip up, your phone's going in the urinal.
Yeah, that's gross.
It's just gone. And so you're rolling the dice. But if you want to get your fix, you know what? God bless you. Just,
I mean, if you want to dip your...
I can take a something... piss with one hand and not ever touch. Like, there's no cross-contamination there. Then I stick it back in the pocket, wash my hands, we're good. It's no different than taking a piss and then touching your phone later after you're...
But are there people in the bathroom with you while you're doing it?
Like, usually
is it
not.
Is it acceptable if you're by yourself or like when there's people around?
Yeah, I don't do it when there's like someone right next to me because I don't want them.
Do you want to risk, huh? You know you're in the wrong here.
It's not worth risking your phone getting dipped in 1,000 men's urine.
Yeah. Plus,
like I said, I only do it when I'm busy at work and I can't check it like all day for hours on end. Then
you're saying that Twitter is worth being contaminated with, a battalion's worth of urine.
I've never dropped my phone in the toilet or just.
You still could though. You're saying the risk is worth it.
Yes, based on the fact that I have dropped my phone 0% of the time I was holding it.
But the day
the only
it happens,
time I've dropped it is
it's
when
going
I think
to
we're proving.
I
think
you.
We're proving Person's point though. His point. We've warped this question into like, is it worth losing the device we're addicted to? His whole point is.
Hey, that's all. It's a valid. That's a valid argument as well.
It is, but it's like he's more talking about how addicted are we?
The answer is yeah. It's fucking too connected. Everybody's too connected.
Okay.
It's 2016. We the internet now.
Yeah.
God.
Sorry, did you say something? I was checking Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the way it is. I mean, it really is. It takes a real conscious effort. Like, if you're gonna, actually turn off your phone and shut everything down, it's like it takes the life out of you. You're like, all right, I gotta focus here.
I don't know about. I wouldn't say that for myself, but
no, I'm saying
it takes the life out of me.
Not the life out of you, but I mean, I'm saying it takes a conscious effort to be like, okay, I'm actually doing this.
One thing I do gotta say, like, I see a lot of people saying like they can't. Like tweet out that they can't sleep and then they'll keep tweeting and stuff like that. Well, like that if you're having trouble sleeping,
get off your phone.
Twitter's probably part of it. Like just
that it is.
Shut down.
They've literally done scientific studies. That stimulation of having like a screen and stuff
puts your sleep off by like 10 minutes.
Yeah. It just keeps delaying it and you can't get into you can't start like shutting down.
You have to turn your phone off. I have to turn my phone off when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the whole thing behind Gunners to like cut out that like blue light that gives you like trouble sleeping?
Is it?
Are you saying people wear Gunners while they sleep?
Yeah, hold on.
No. In terms of like late at night, like why you're not supposed to be on, you're like not supposed to be on the computer right before you go to bed.
Yeah, it actually helps me. Like if I wear those, which I don't wear them that often, but when
I just use flux.
I go to bed a little bit easier.
No, man, they just have my fucking sick KDR, dog.
Yeah, I'm top fragging and it's because I'm getting that rest.
That's what Gunner's gonna start claiming is that you actually can get REM cycle sleep when you're wearing them.
Thanks for running. I'm getting all my sleep cycles, dog.
Yeah, dude, don't even have to ever close my eyes. Full 8 hours.
LG, bro.
They're gonna start having little things at the end that attach to your temples.
Jesus Christ. All right, and the final question, AJ Render asks in episode. What is it? Render. That's what I said.
I would say Rendier, probably.
Rendier? Okay.
AJ Rendier.
Rendier. Sorry, AJ Rendier. Episode 222 is the most twos ever. If you could re-experience for the second time a gaming moment, what would it be? That's a good question. Like, experience a game moment over again for the first time. Like,
I don't want to make this a WoW thing.
For me, it would be like playing through Dark Souls 1 the first time. Because I didn't go through with any sort of guides or like looking back on anyone playing the game to learn how the boss went. Like, I actually legit went in and like figured it all out for myself, and for anyone that's played Dark Souls, you know it's a tough as fuck game, even with guides and stuff like that. So to me, that would probably be mine, like going back and experiencing that for the first time, because every single Dark Souls game that I played after that, it just doesn't have that same feeling. Like Dark Souls 2, I thought was easy as fuck. Bloodborne had some tough areas, but overall it was a pretty easy game. And Demon Souls, which is supposed to be the hardest one out of the whole series, I beaten with 15 deaths. So like, I didn't find that game challenging at all either. Like, it's just to go back and get that first feeling of beating Dark Souls 1 for the first time and feeling that relief when you finally got past an error, getting back to that, back through that relief of actually beating a boss, like, that was one of the best feelings ever, I should say. So
first time you beat ONS, you just felt like king of the world.
Like sex, but better.
Oh, the first time I played Journey.
Journey? Okay. I have to play that still.
If I could go and have a first time playthrough of Journey again, and like, because I feel like I had like the perfect, I don't know, just the perfect environment for it. The people that I was playing with weren't dicks. Everybody was nice. It was great.
Love mine that. Is easily, and some might think I'm crazy for this, but if I could experience Braid again, because it was just a phenomenal puzzle game.
That's the one where you can kind of go back in time, right?
No. Yeah. Or, yeah, like there's all kinds of elements to it. But every time I try to replay it, no matter how long it's been, I usually wait like at least a year. I always remember some of the puzzles, and it just kind of ruins it for me. It's like, yeah, this isn't the same.
If I I mean, that's any puzzle game. Yeah, like the Portal games, like playing those rooms again without knowing.
And I think I just really, really liked that game. But yeah, like Portal 2 would probably be one too. Just
any like really good puzzle game is a really good choice for this.
Yeah,
I honestly say, like when I first got like a Nintendo 64, I played through like Banjo-Tooie before the first one, which is like Banjo-Kazooie or something. I definitely want to play that through like for the first time again, because that was probably the most fun I had like as a kid playing games, because the rest of my job was pretty much just playing Battlefront on my PS2.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know, like this is one nobody's gonna see coming, but the first I was so behind, I had like
see a source season 16
I was so behind. Like, I had a PlayStation when the PlayStation 2 was out. Like, I was so behind on everything. But I played... actually, maybe that's not true. I had a PlayStation when it was still relevant. I guess the Dreamcast, but not everyone had a Dreamcast. But I was still a little bit behind. But the original driver, that was, like, the first... When I got a PlayStation, that was my first, actually, like, step into, like, superior graphics. Because I was on a Sega Genesis forever, playing, like, Sonic Pinball and shit, and Madden 95. But I then got a PlayStation, and I played the original driver, and that game blew my fucking brain apart. I don't know. And going back now, like, it's fucking, obviously, if you look at it, just when you, hasn't aged well, but the original driver just blew my mind, and I played that game all the way through, and I loved that game so much. And this was even before the time, before GTA 3 came out and stuff like that, where you could get out of the car. I just thought it was like the coolest fucking game of all time. So if I could experience driver again, as a young, nubile, not fucking jaded person.
It's on Windows, Scott. Just saying.
It's on Windows, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And that's how I think I actually...
Get this to work for
I think
you.
I got an emulator
just
to try that out.
Yeah, but he would remember parts of it. He wants to...
I would.
I know.
Play that again.
It's on Games for Windows Live?
That's dead.
I feel like I definitely tried it on PC, and I was just like, holy fuck, this game is so garbage looking. Which it was. It was, actually. Also, the ending of Deadly Premonition, which I don't think any of you have played, but the ending of Deadly Premonition, Tim, you have to stream Deadly Premonition all the way through. Trust me, you'll lose your mind, but it's so
maybe
worth
in
it.
March.
Do it, fucking do it.
You got a book schedule.
Yeah,
XCOM 2 comes out at the beginning of February, and that's gonna take me all month to beat.
When I'm telling you right now, if you actually play through DP and get to I don't think there's any game that I've ever played that tops the absolute fucking insanity of that game. I can't even begin to describe it. You think the game's over, and then it goes on for 3 more hours, and it's fucking insane. So, anyway, DP's fucking nuts. The game, but DP is also nuts, depending
DP
on who
is. There's more nuts than there normally would be.
It's about 4 whole nuts.
Oh.
It depends on the status of the other person's testicles and your testicles, depending on,
I can contribute
too. How many nuts there would be in a DP?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can also, I'm also bringing 2 to the table.
Jesus. Two, really? You didn't get? I thought you had the Lance Armstrong thing.
Some people can have one, Scott.
I know. I thought you. Anyway,
maybe some people can have three. I've never heard of that, but I'm sure it probably exists somewhere.
Probably does.
I mean, there was the guy with the two dicks, right? Wait, yeah. Did that guy have four? Did the guy have with two dicks have four balls, or did he just have the two balls?
Yeah, the two balls.
I mean, two dicks is possible. I'm sure three balls is possible. Or would it come in four? Do they have to come in pairs, or would you have three balls? Which is more likely?
I'd probably say two sets.
Yeah, two sets of balls.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
All right, so that'll do it for the questions. Some good questions this week. Thank you, everybody. So the iTunes podcast review of the week comes from Barry McCockinya. Barry McCockinya. Okay, I got it. I get it.
Pushing it so far.
Pretty good. God, but you guys...
McCockinya is not a name, so I don't...
McCockinya. M-C. It's spelled out M-C and then an uppercase C. A-W-K-I-N-Y-A. I bet you there's somebody out there named McCockinya. I bet you there is in the world.
I don't believe it.
But to get possibly featured on a review for the iTunes podcast review of the week, all you got to do is rate us 5 stars on iTunes and leave a review that's moderately clever, and we may... we may select it. So
we have no standards.
We really don't. And this one, there was like two or three I could have chosen. This one was okay. It wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't horrible. So let's read this. I mostly got it for Nick because he likes to blow big clouds, but you'll see in a minute. Okay. So Barry McCockinya says, I walked into my local vape shop and the nice young man was wearing a KB Mod shirt. So I inquired about his shirt and he told me it was the Dankest Podcast on iTunes trademarked. He even mentioned Sick Rips.
Is that trademarked? I don't think that's actually trademarked.
Yeah, I don't think we actually trademarked that. Apparently the guy said that it was trademarked, which we're definitely not.
Yeah, he said trademarked out loud.
Trademarked. He even mentioned, quote-unquote, Sick Rips and Big Clouds. So naturally, I was interested after several weeks. I was interested. Full stop, sorry. After several weeks of listening, I thoroughly agree that this cast is of the dankest variety, says Barry. Mm. McCockinya. So thank you for the kind words.
I haven't vaped in 2 weeks.
Really? What are you quitting vaping or something? What happened?
I had a real bad urge after New Year's. I was like, I need some of this sweet nicotine, dog. And that was it. That was the last time I used it. I haven't bought any more juice, so I was just like, I guess my motivation stopped there when I had to buy more.
Oh, okay.
So the whole reason to stop, I guess.
I'm just gonna not.
But yeah, leave us a review. I mean, it does require that you're going to have to have iTunes in some form to leave the review, but you can fucking uninstall it as soon as you review it, and maybe you'll be, you know, get on the next feature review. Thank you, Barry McCockinya, for that. And I think that's going to do it for episode 222. We will be back next week, as per usual, with I think Brandon will be back, and I think hopefully John will be here. So maybe Katie's in as well. I don't know. We'll see. But this has been a fun one, guys. Thanks all for coming on. And
you're welcome.
Fuck you, not you, bitch. Nick.
2-2-2-3 deuces.
It was an honor.
Schedule for you.
Yes. Honor and a privilege.
Honor and a privilege. All right, guys. We will see you for episode 223 next week. Farewell.
Free meat.
What?
I'm still waiting for.
Need to? Oh, yes.
I'm waiting.
Yatta!
Yatta!
Oh my
what
god!
What the?
Oh, Jesus. That was a sound bite. I thought that was you actually screaming.
Oh, my God.
Holy fuck.
Okay. Holy fuck. What the fuck was that? Jesus.